Welcome to Brain Core, the podcast that introduces you to new psychology and neuroscience research. I'm Tolu Faramika, and I'm joined by my co-host Christina Valcanis. So, this month is a little different. We are actually reviewing the past 9 months of episodes. So I think that's about 14 real episodes, couple bonus episodes in there as well. So we kind of work on a different calendar, I think. I think we work with the student calendar, and so we start things off in September, and then everything kind of dies down in April, like it is right now. So it seems appropriate to review the year now. So we are only putting out one episode this month because I have and am still writing exams. But Christina is not, so we'll throw it over to her. What's up with you? Anything new?
Man, as much as there can be new during the pandemic, I guess. Every time I get asked this question, I'm like, I feel like I do nothing other than sit at home.
I doubt that.
No. Well, they shut down pools again. I work as a lifeguard. I've never said that on the show, I don't think. Maybe I have, about Aquafit and stuff. So now they emailed me and they were like, hey, do you want to make safety videos for us? So that's like the newest thing going on in my life. I'm making a video demonstrating how to properly wear sunscreen before you go swimming in the summer. And yeah, now we have a whole project and we're trying to make like a bunch of videos for the Instagram. I don't know how I got sucked into this. They were like, you have to make up the hours that you're not working anymore. And I was like, I only had 1 hour a week and now I'm doing more. So whatever. And then, yeah.
Do you get paid for just the 1 hour now? Or is it like...
Yeah, but I'm going to tell them like, hi, people, I'm working more than an hour. Yeah. Can we up my pay a little? You know, you gotta beg as a young wannabe student. And then other than that, I'm still trying to figure out the rest of my path. Everybody who listens to these podcasts probably knows that I'm a little bit laissez-faire and like kind of take things as they come. So I'm seeing what my next step's going to be still.
I can definitely relate with that. Also, probably from listening to this, people know I am not laissez-faire. So I currently... going into my fourth year, and I'm like, I keep changing my, like, what I want to do after I graduate. Every week. Okay.
She's like, comes at me with all these ideas. At one point, guys, I think we should all just be in support of her being a penguin veterinarian.
No.
It's clearly her dream.
A penguin veterinarian. No, okay. That's just... if we lived in a utopia and you didn't actually have to work to make money and you could just be anything, I would pick that. However, you have to make money, you have to make a living. So I've probably switched from like maybe med school to maybe clinical psychology to maybe, I don't even know what it is now. I feel like after exams, I'm going to go into hibernation and just be like researching on these different paths, but yeah. We'll see.
It's an exciting time. We've got like 1,000 paths to choose. Don't let that make you feel anxious, but like all these different opportunities.
Yeah, I think it's just 1,000 makes me feel... a little stuck, you know, that what's it called, like, is it like the paradox of choice, where there's too many options and then that makes you not pick anything, or when there aren't enough options and you're like forced into picking one thing. I think I'm trying to find that balance where I can at least maybe find 3 paths and then decide from there, or like at least get ready for them, because for some of them, you want to at least be preparing like maybe a year in advance. So that's what I'm up to. Yeah. Other than exams, of course, because I wrote one this morning, like have 2 more to go and then I'm done.
No, yeah. It's smart to look at your options and figure it out. Because like, yeah. But sometimes surprises are good too. Like this whole opportunity podcasting with you was a surprise. It wasn't like 3 years ago I was thinking when I met Tolu, oh my gosh, yeah. You know what? Summer 2020, that's it. We're going to be podcasting. No, well, sometimes you can't plan. But on that note.
Yeah, I try not to plan like 3 years in advance. I'm not a
Okay, not three. Okay, not even 1 year. Like sometimes the best things in life are like the surprises. It's good to plan about, obviously, your career trajectory. But I'm just saying, like, you might fall into something and it'll just be like,
yeah. Hopefully it's like I fall into like lottery wins. That would be quite nice.
Well, I mean, sometimes I compare getting into med school to winning the lottery. So just apply and shoot your shot.
True, I guess. Okay, so this podcast, the Brain Core podcast, we have had on 19 guests, part of whom were two PhD students, four professionals, and one undergraduate student. Shout out Chloe. He was great to have on. And yeah, okay. So we can like get into, we've kind of highlighted some of the episodes that we want to talk about specifically. Some of them kind of speak for themselves, and then others were kind of high points for us, maybe, or little small peaks. So we'll get into that now.
Yeah, let's get into it. I just want to ask you first, because I know how I feel now podcasting, but how did you feel at the beginning, like when we started right off the bat, episode zero? Or even before that, like when you were conceiving this whole idea of making a podcast, how did you feel then versus how do you feel now about the Brain Core podcast?
Yeah, I mean, back then, I think I felt really nervous because even though we're talking about articles and having professionals come on, part of yourself is still being put out there for criticism and feedback. And I think when you do something like that, you put yourself in a bit of a vulnerable spot. And mm-hmm. as someone who takes forever to think of a sentence and then say the sentence coherently, I was like, is podcasting good for me? Or should I take the back seat because I can't put sentences together? But I'm getting better. The first ever episode zero, before I clicked publish, I had to take like 10 minutes to be like, did I edit that properly? Does it sound good? Were there too many silent pauses, or is the title good? Like, is the genesis too dramatic? All these different things are like, what if nobody listens? That kind of thing. Now it's just like you put the episode out, and I'm happy with how the process has gone. So I think I'm less nervous now when I'm publishing the episode. Definitely not less nervous when we're recording. That's a different thing. But yeah, so you said you know how you feel now. How did you feel back then?
Back then, okay, when you first messaged me, I think I've told you this before, I was like, okay, like, this sounds like a cool idea, but are we going to do it? Because so many times in my life, people have been like, oh, yeah, we should do this. And we're like, oh, yeah, totally. That sounds like a great idea. Let's do it. Or, like, let's start a business or something. And it always falls through. And I was like, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. I'm down to do it. But is it going to happen? And then we actually started, like, doing stuff. And I was like, oh, it is going to happen. Well, I was like, okay, maybe she's gonna say come be co-host with me and then just like disappear. And I was like, okay, but you didn't disappear, and I'm glad for that.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to add one thing. At the start, I spoke to different people about the podcast because I said if I want to start this, like, I want it to be consistent, like we're posting every month, or if it's twice a month, which is what we kind of do, on the same day at the same time. So I don't even know if people have noticed, but it's always the 12th and 22nd of every month at 8 a.m. Like, it comes out because I pre-schedule it. And so I was talking to my friend Addie on FaceTime before we even came up with the name Brain Core. And I was asking her, like, you know, if I start this thing, I want it to be consistent. How have you been consistent? Because she also has her own podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me some advice, and I really took it to heart. And I was writing in my notebook behind me. I was writing all these different tips. I reached out to Yoel Imbar, also host at the podcast, Two Psychologists, Four Beers. Also asking for advice, like what kind of mic, all of these things. So, you know, I didn't want to reach out to you and be that person who flakes after like 4 months. I wanted it to be, we're doing this and we're consistent. And I think we've been pretty good up until this month, but that's because of exams.
Yeah.
So I don't think that many people have noticed. They're probably also studying.
Mm-hmm.
Which works out.
Yeah.
But, okay, so for you, what has been your favorite episode so far, or do you have one?
Oh, it's hard to choose because you learn so much from all of the episodes, and I think that's one of the things that I value most out of this podcast is that we bring on such a diverse variety of guests. So every week, even though I've read the papers, it's a totally different experience to actually be able to talk to the person and learn from them. So I totally love that. But I think the episode that was kind of like a switch for me where I was like, oh, we're actually doing well and we're doing this and like we're getting better at this was actually episode 6. So these damn flashbacks with Myra Fernandez and Ryan Young, who was one of the PhD students that we mentioned. But I think that one for me, it was the first time where we had more than one guest. And for some reason, that episode, the conversations were just flowing. Like,
yes,
Myra was picking up off of what Ryan said. And it was like very natural. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, when we were speaking with them afterwards, it was the first time somebody actually gave us positive feedback too after. Like, Myra had very nice things to say to us. And maybe I just need that like extrinsic feedback. I was like, okay, we're doing it. Like,
yeah,
we're doing fine. So that was mine. But what about you? If you had to choose a favorite, what would you want?
I agree with you that, you know, the most important thing is that we're learning from the episodes, we're learning from our guests. But I think my favorite has to be probably episode 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason, the reason this is so is because I think it's a topic that is so far removed from anything I've learned in school. And, we'll go through some of the episodes, but I think in that episode, you know, the vibes with Keith Kirkland, we talked about haptic technology. And I think maybe just a tiny section in a textbook, in maybe a cognitive psychology textbook, has talked about anything haptic related. And I think that's when I was like, okay, the podcast is giving what it was supposed to give for me. Because what I wanted also at the beginning of the podcast was to revitalize this love that I had for psychology and finding out new things. And so I thought, I want the podcast to be supplementary to school, right? So you're learning what you're learning in school, but then through the podcast, you're learning these extra things, maybe additional information, but this was completely new. So I was really happy with that episode. I have some other favorites, but I would say,
yeah, I think we were both really enthusiastic about episode 10. Like at the end, I don't know if Keith listens anymore, but we told him, we were like, yeah, this was it.
Yeah.
We were like, this was a lot of fun. And so we got to give him credit for that. It was an interesting conversation. And like you said, it's something that we don't really talk about that much.
Mm-hmm.
And we've, we had like a similar episode afterwards, a couple episodes after, where we brought on Adam Moldner from Neurable, and we talked about neurotech too. So
yes,
that one was also interesting, just like bringing in these like outside implications or applications of neuroscience that you don't really talk about in school.
Yeah, I was really excited about the Neurable episode. I mean, that had been months in the making. I don't even know if listeners know. We had been trying to get someone from Neurable on to talk about what they were doing because their work is so exciting. And I was really excited with that episode as well. So we'll start at the beginning. So episode zero, I've re-listened, is that a word? Yeah. I've listened to it again multiple times for a reason that we will talk about later on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the time when we recorded it, I was like, wow, this kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, we sound so awkward. And now when I listen to it, I'm like, wow, that was funny. Like, that was a very interesting episode to listen to for a first episode, too. I was like, this is pretty good. And then we move on to episode one, breaking down layers of bias. And this was one of my highlights because, I mean, it was our first guest, right? We had on Regan Grong.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're starting something, it's incredible how much influence having support from someone you look up to can be. And Regan, I know you said that perhaps episode six was when we got positive feedback, but I would actually say it started at the beginning.
Yeah, you're Regan, right. You're right.
Because it was like, you know, oh, okay, if you also need other types of guests, like, you know, let me know, I'll be able to help you out. In fact, later on, that's how we found Sawa, was through Regan. So that was one of my highlights. I thought he was very nice to help us out with that, and the conversation was also really important for the time that the episode came out.
Yeah, it was relevant to what was going on at that point. And then episode two, when we had on Michael Inslicht for the episode Isn't It Ironic, that one for me, I think just because he has a podcast of his own, for some reason he just sounded so professional and put together when he spoke. It was like, oh my gosh, we have like a radio superstar on with us.
Radio superstar.
I don't know, he just has like that. Like, the way he spoke, it was like a radio voice. And I was like, oh my goodness. Wow. Mm. So I like that episode. I like that discussion. And it was interesting to have on another podcaster, especially when we were so new in the game, like somebody who's been doing it for a while, and see their experiences as well. So that's what I found impactful about episode two.
I think it was also nice to have a link to, I mean, our post-secondary education.
Yeah, for sure.
So he's also a professor at U of T. So it was nice to have that kind of local support as well.
And even though he does psychology, he has like business affiliations too. I noticed he teaches like different business courses. And I was like, at some point through all these episodes, you start to realize all the different niches. And I think that was one of the reasons why we were making the podcast too, is to look and explore these different niches of psychology and neuroscience, and then like actually speaking with people who do this stuff every day. It's just, I still can't process it.
Just as a reflection on that, I think the podcast, the way you just described it with the niches, is a good representation of us as well, like our personalities, because we're not just like interested in one thing. Mm-hmm. What's that saying, the like jack of
jack of all trades, master of none?
Yeah, kind of. I wouldn't say master of none, but...
No, no, no. If you want to say it, we're multifaceted individuals.
Indeed, yes. Mm-hmm. That's the correct thing that I would use to describe us. And so I think for us, it was trying to see, okay, so what can you combine with neuroscience? What can you combine with psychology? Because you have so many interests, it's like, I don't want to spend the rest of my life just doing one thing. And then you realize people really do not just do one thing.
Mm.
And so, yeah. Well, I'll also highlight episode 6 again with Myra and Ryan. I thought that episode was really pretty. There was a time when Myra was describing what was it?
Well, the sweets, something mm-hmm. that the guy yeah, in like, France was eating.
Yeah, like when she was describing that, I was like, wow, like this is such great
imagery
to be listening to. I was listening to it and I was almost forgot to respond. So that's kind of that's what was highlighted in my mind from that episode.
Yeah, I remember that point too. I had vivid imagery. I was actually sitting on the floor when we recorded that episode because my family was being so loud. So I was like in a closet on the floor and I was just like...
The things we do for good sound.
Yeah, it's okay. Duh. Like, I was like, guys, be quiet, but nobody was being quiet. So, but after that, we had on Christine Knox, who was, I guess, less academic than the other people we had on. It was the first time we had somebody on that wasn't affiliated with a paper to talk about a therapy. And that episode for me was also impactful because as a therapist, she was able to share like clinical applications of all these things that we talk about with us. And something like using an EEG to look at brain waves and use that to provide a young kid with feedback on whether they're distracted or whether they're focused is something that's like, I don't know. I find that really cool that you could use brain waves to program a video game to help get them to focus on something.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that episode was really educative. And it was a different perspective because, like you said, she's not involved in academics.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. All right. We kind of already talked about this one, or did we? No, okay. This one is actually a bonus episode. Bonus episode 2 with Tara. And this one was, honestly, when I say like top 5 favorite episodes, this one is probably my top 5. And it was because, you know, we were privileged to hear Tara's story. And I was so honored that she would share her story with us and also with the audience. And it also came from a relevant background to what we also talk about, like psychology and neuroscience. And so I just thought, you know, it was really relatable, probably for other people who have dealt with depression and other mental illnesses. And I thought it was good for our listeners to hear that, you know, someone who is also working in the field has a lived experience with it. And so I really appreciated that.
Yeah, it was really great to have a patient advocate on. And I think as a student, one of the things that happens when you're in your undergrad is you're so tied to the textbook and to what happens during lecture that you don't really have the opportunity to make these real world connections. Like, you could look at an MRI of a patient with Alzheimer's, but do you know what life is like for that patient to be able to make these more meaningful contributions to science? Like, you might be researching Alzheimer's. I don't know why I'm choosing Alzheimer's, but you might be researching Alzheimer's. And why are you doing that? Like, you want to make somebody else's life out there better. So at the end of the day, I think making those connections is really important. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of opportunity to do that in school. unless you have like a course that might bring in an advocate to talk to you about that stuff. But it was a really great and hopefully a well-received episode for the audience as well.
Yeah, I mean, I heard from a couple friends and they enjoyed the episode. And I think Tara also enjoyed being on, despite a little nerves. But
yeah,
we all feel the nerves. So, and we host the show.
Yeah, we'll talk a bit more about that later.
Yeah. We've already talked about episode 10, which was with Keith. I think my next highlight, also going to skip the episode with Adam. That was a great episode. But my next one is probably the one with Chloe, which was bonus mm-hmm. episode 3. I think, again, this was another first for us because we've had, you know, we just started out, so we're going to have a lot of firsts. This was our first undergraduate student coming on. And I remember at the at the beginning of the podcast, I also wanted it to not just be researchers or professionals. I wanted it to also be students who are doing the work, and you can see the work too and the results from the work. And I think Chloe as a guest was a great representation of that.
Yeah. She gave me a little bit of an imposter syndrome. No, but that's going to segue well into our next month, into March, and we're almost caught up on all the episodes we've done. Mm. But, like, hearing from such an accomplished undergrad student made me think, I was like, well, I did my undergrad too, and what did I do? But nah. That's not the way to
Everyone think. Has and, their own path.
And we actually learned that. And in episode 13, where we had on Dr. Adonte, or Rick, as he allows us to call him. he actually, it wasn't what went on so much during the episode. It was really cool during the episode what we talked about. But after the episode, he showed us all his rejections. And I mentioned this too in episode 14 to our other guests. And I was just like how humbling is it to see this guy show you, like, here's my rejection letter framed on a wall. And for me, it was because before I invited him on the show, I didn't even know that he was a scientist for NASA or anything like that. I just saw his paper, thought the paper was cool. And then I had looked him up and I was like, oh my goodness, Tolu, he worked at NASA.
He works with NASA.
And I was like amazed by that. So you kind of put these people on a pedestal, and then to see that they go through these exact same experiences as you, or they've been through like rejections and they've been through feeling like an imposter. And that just helps helps keep you motivated and helps you realize that, like, you're not actually alone. Don't worry about it. We actually talked a lot about that in kind of a therapy session with Brooke Vick, Nick Rule, and Linda Troop on episode 14. But if you want to...
Linda Tropp.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, Linda.
Yeah, that the episode about imposter syndrome, and also with Rick as well, I think that was a really relatable month. That was a month of just free therapy, like group therapy, where you just kind of talk about all the things that bother you, and then figure out solutions as to make them less bothersome. And episode 14, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. I feel like I've been saying that internally every day since we recorded that episode. There are so many things that feel scary to do. I don't know if this is a good example, but I recently just got roller skates. And Christina will know firsthand how hard it is for me to skate on ice. So now I'm skating on the ground. This is not an academic example, but it's still an example of feeling the fear and doing it anyway. And honestly, it has been worth it. I think it's a really good thing to keep in mind. Even if you're not in academics, if you're just thinking about doing something and it fuels you up with fear, but you know it's the right thing to do anyways, do it anyway. I mean, that's what we learned. So I think it's good to highlight that episode as well. If you haven't listened to it, you definitely should. That was another first for us. We had had two people on, not three. So having three people and all the tech stuff working was amazing. So that was great. Yeah. So let me ask you, what is the most amazing thing that you have learned over these past 9 months?
I've learned so much. So if I were to pick one thing, I'd probably piggyback off of what you just said about feeling the fear and doing it anyway. And I know this didn't just come like directly from one episode's topic or anything, but through this whole experience of talking to people with diverse backgrounds and learning about their different scientific end of our on their different scientific roots has helped me realize that sometimes, like, what is it that you're afraid of? I learned that I'm not actually afraid of the actual experience. I'm afraid of failing in front of somebody or being judged by somebody. So that's what it was a learning about myself moment. I learned that the fear isn't coming from actually doing it. Like, I'm not afraid of podcasting. I'm afraid of getting on a podcast and messing up like I just did a couple seconds ago and went blah, 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 and people judging me. But
yeah,
that was the most amazing thing I've learned. And from that, I learned that I don't really have to be afraid of that, because it's at the end of the day, like, what's going to happen? We both laughed about it.
That's true. To piggyback off your piggyback, I think the most amazing thing I've learned definitely is to have courage to do what you're afraid of, but also to embrace failure. I think personally, there are some things that are not regarded as failure to others, but maybe personally I may see them as, so you know, sometimes when something is not a success to you, and so you automatically just label it a failure. I think for me, I've started to, even, you know, even though I do that, try to embrace the failure and say, okay, that wasn't the best, but we can do it better. And just take it step by step, and and just embrace the failure. In terms of like a solid concept that we've learned about, I think for me it has to be neurofeedback. And I think it was just because ever since that episode, I've been seeing neurofeedback in different technologies, in different courses that I've taken this semester. And so every time I would see it, I'd be like, I've heard about this. I know about this. And so I think the potential for it to help out, to create interventions in the future is huge. So that would be my thing. Yeah. So what's your favorite part of the podcast?
My favorite part of the podcast is, I've said this a million times, is just the guests, like connecting with all these different people and getting over fear, like we said before. I think if you actually look up or what failure is, the definition is lack of success. But I think we need to redefine it in our own mind. And, you know, failure is not the opposite of success. It's part of success. Like, to get to that point, you need to fail. And so my favorite part of the podcast is being able to have these consecutive episodes to explore different niches and to learn about how these people got to where they are, and how while we might just be seeing a final paper, you know,
seeing all the stress, all the strife that went on behind it.
Yeah.
But we get a behind the scenes look at
imperfections.
Yeah. I like that too. I think, honestly, thinking about it now, we've been very, very lucky when it comes to guests.
Yeah.
We've had some amazing people on. In fact, all of them are great. All of them are very knowledgeable. And I just want to say something here. We do not send over a script to our guests. Like, we bring them, we send over the link to join us on a call, and we just start hammering them with questions and they answer it flawlessly. Or even if there is a flaw, it's like, it still works, you know? And I think we've been really lucky with finding guests who are able to listen to us, understand us, and then respond to us. I think for me, my favorite part, apart from our guests, our conversations, definitely have to be post-recording conversations. That's my favorite.
The behind the scenes behind the scenes.
Yes, because, and I feel bad that our listeners don't get to experience this, but we learn, I think for me, what I take away most happens after we hit stop recording.
Yeah.
And we learn so much from our guests, or about our guests, in that space of time. Like with Isabel, we had this great conversation about Christmas movies, and we talked about that, I don't know for how long.
Yeah, at one point her internet got cut off and we thought she was just not gonna come back, but she came back and she was like, hold on.
I'm not done.
Wait, I have a list.
Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was great because you know, another thing that my mom reminded me of is that we've never met any of these people face to face, right? So some of them like when we record, we don't record with video on. In fact, that wasn't even an option a couple months ago. So sometimes we just don't even see each other. We've never seen each other's faces, you know, speaking. We're just connecting over this channel of voice, right? And I think that's amazing too. And then being able to connect on different levels, like different types of movies, different types of games, like we talked about with Keith.
Mm-hmm.
I just think I think it's great. It's an amazing experience for me. Yeah. I never could have foreseen this. Okay, what's your least favorite part?
I was just gonna ask you that too. I was gonna say, well, this is good. My least favorite part is the stress that comes, once we get on and they join, then it starts and I'm like sweating and I'm like, oh my goodness, they're here.
Yeah.
I have to ask them these questions and then like piggyback off of things they say. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think part of that has to do with the fact that I care so much about it. Like, since we're all psychology students, we know that nice little stress bell curve where it's like you're stressed too much to function at one point, and then in the middle you have like optimal stress where you're just stressed because you care about doing well. But then at the low point, if you're not stressed enough, it's like you don't even care.
Right.
You don't care about what you're doing, so you're not going to do well. But you have to have stress. It's good stress, but like, I mean, I could do without the sweating.
Yeah, I could definitely do without the sweating. I know the episode that stressed me out the most. I'm not even going to say which one it was.
Oh, I know which one. I can tell.
Yeah.
I remember.
That one I felt so out of my zone, out of my comfort zone. But I do agree with you that there is a good form of stress to have. There are some episodes where I felt like I was in a flow state. Like everything was coming naturally to me. I was able to ask questions that we didn't even write in the script.
Mm-hmm.
Those episodes were also great. But I think the ones where we feel the most stress is probably the one where we learn the most from. And so I think there's still good that comes from those stressful episodes. Even with tech issues, which we go through maybe every second episode. Mm-hmm. It's still okay. And I think another part that I don't know if it's my least favorite part of the podcast, but not being able to dedicate more time to it, obviously because of courses and school and other things I have to do, because I really enjoy the conversations. And I think sometimes it's the highlight of my week, being able to talk with, you know, these very knowledgeable guests, being able to talk with you as well, especially being in a form of isolation. It's always great to socially connect with people.
On that note, you said like what you don't like about it. Would you change anything about it, or where do you want to see it going next?
Where do I see it going next? I don't think I would change anything about how we do the podcast currently, but where I do see us going next is I kind of want the podcast to expand a little bit, to be more than just a podcast, because I think podcasting maybe is not, even though it's not as new, there aren't a lot of people who listen to podcasts, and the audience that we're trying to reach, I feel maybe might be connected more so through platforms like YouTube. So even though in our episode zero, I was like, we're not going to do YouTube because that takes too much work. Well, we might be going there. And, you know, we're still trying to figure out some things. I want us to have our own website so people have a landing spot. And I kind of want to know what our community of listeners look like and what their thoughts are. So I'm hoping we can have some virtual events, and maybe when things have calmed down a little bit with COVID, like even some in-person events. So there's a lot to look forward to. I'm still in the pre-contemplation phase of building something. So yeah, I also want us to collaborate with other groups. And I think that's on the way.
Yeah, those are all great ideas. I think we're doing well. For the person who's not the planner, if you ask me, where do you want to see it go next? That's when I start to break down and I'm like, I don't know. wherever it goes. But I think collaborating with more people and just getting the name out there and building a larger initiative and maybe being able to disseminate like neuroscience and psychology mm-hmm. knowledge more to a wider audience is something that hopefully we can do in one way or another in the future.
True.
But do you have any ideas of like topics that you want to expand to? Do we want to give them a preview?
A preview. Well, this summer, we're instead of just focusing on one topic for 1 month, I think we're going to try and do one topic for 2 months because, you know, it's summer. We're going to switch things up a little bit. And I think this topic is one that you can't just cover and then dip. Like, you kind of have to go in depth because there are different ways of looking at it. And the topic is consciousness. So you can come at it from a philosophical point of view. You can come at it from a psychological point of view, from a technological point of view. And I think consciousness is such an interesting topic that a lot of people are trying to figure out right now. And I think it would be great to talk about with some experts, with some cool guests. Another thing I think would be great to talk about, especially with our personal interests, is music and psychology. I think it would be great to get into that. I don't know if we will this summer particularly, but at some point we will get to it. Also want to talk about psychology and the law, definitely. maybe a little forensic psychology in there. And then also sleep and psychology. I think this is just an important one for physical health, for mental health. You hear a lot of scary facts about sleep. And I'm hoping, my fingers are crossed, that we get a sleep expert to come on and talk about the positive aspects of sleep and to get us all sleeping better in the future. Because I know we need it throughout this exam season. I know people are doing all-nighters. Even if you don't need to, I know you're doing all-nighters. And, you know, that doesn't really help for consolidation of memories and all of that. So, yeah, those are some topics. Do you have any that you would want to talk about?
I mean, definitely the consciousness one. I'm excited if we do get the guests that we're thinking of getting. That would be pretty sick. And then just overall, like, back to my favorite quote that I brought up in, like, so many episodes. I think one thing we can look back on is we've learned so much, but there's still so much to learn. So I'm really just excited to bring on so many people and learn even more than we already have with my little Socrates quote. But that's all from me. I don't want to give away too much.
Yeah. In case we can't get them on.
In case we fall through.
Hopefully we won't. But yeah, I'm going to throw this over to our listeners now. Which episode was your favorite? You can let us know. Our email is thebraincorepodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram @thebraincorepodcast and on Twitter @thebraincorepod. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we always appreciate when you leave a rating or a comment. And I just want to say, because I just saw this today, I want to shout out to my friend Tofola. He commented on Apple Podcasts. And it's so funny because I don't check Apple Podcasts as often as I check Spotify. And so I just saw the comment recently, and it was really, really kind. So I want to thank you for that. And yeah, you know, commenting, rating helps us to reach a wider audience because Apple is like, wow, you know, a lot of people are listening to this. We should probably disseminate it to other people. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. For students, good luck with your exams. For professors, good luck with marking. And for everybody else, we hope you are having a great brain day.